Let's open in prayer. Father, this morning, what a joy it is to come just to boldly into your throne room of grace. And we can speak the name of your Son, Jesus, who you delight in, and the honor and the just everything concerning your Son, Father, that we can even experience it here on earth as it is in heaven. And so this morning, Father, because of your Son, we come and we're asking today for the grace that comes through Jesus to be released, the truth that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. We receive that. We receive the ministry of your Holy Spirit and just bringing us into the reality of the life of Christ Jesus, your Son, in knowing you, Father, and knowing him and knowing the Holy Spirit. So we want to celebrate this morning for a time once again where we know that as two or three have come in the name of your Son, Jesus, you're with us. And there in the rooms, there in wherever we are, you are with us. And by faith, we receive your ministry. And I want to thank you today that you are going to release a faith that is your faith that is going to be life-changing. And so we just want to thank you for your love for all of us. The faith you're going to be releasing is because you love the people of the community. We want to connect to your heartbeat. We want to connect to your mission. We want to connect to your love in walking in the Isaiah 61 mandate and setting the captives free and in healing, in deliverance, in teaching, and in whatever it may be, Lord Jesus, so that the Father's heart that you made known, that you brought into the existence by the power of your death and resurrection, and now by the Holy Spirit, that we can experience the hand of God manifesting in our lives. So, Father, as the early disciples gathered together during a time of persecution, during a time of all difficult situations, they came to worship you, they came to praise you, and they boldly said, Father, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand and perform mighty signs and wonders in the name of your Son, Jesus. Glorify your Son. Glorify your Son, Jesus. As we pray in his name, as we minister, as we listen in the name of Jesus, and that what you're wanting to do, we receive your stretched out hand touching our lives. So we thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to continue the theme that has been for a while now, but I want to start off. Let me just quickly go to Acts chapter 3. And this was that scripture that really began to shift us into a sort of a deeper level of faith and growing in faith as we began to look at what it means to have faith in the name of Jesus. And so we look there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. And we've been sort of spending time on that quite a bit, and I think all of us have got situations where we are being established in this. It's no longer looking at our circumstances and saying, oh, woe is me, but it's rather, Lord, thank you. You are establishing me to have faith in the name of Jesus. And so it's a Thanksgiving crisis that we are in. Okay. It's not negative. We've got to be in these areas to grow in faith, to make so that we've got the genuine God faith and not any other human or religious faith that we have been established in for so many years. But notice what Peter says over here, by faith in the name of Jesus, and that's what we've been looking, but he continues, this man who you see and know was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. Very important that this truth here that Peter is releasing to all those that are standing. Wow, this man that was crippled, now he's leaping and dancing and praising the Lord. And they're so amazed. And so Peter's saying, why are you looking at us? It's not us. It is Jesus. You see, because remember the name of Jesus and the person of Jesus, you cannot separate. I could recall if it's in the end of Luke or Mark, I'm not too sure now, but when the apostles went out and they preached and healed, etc., it says very clearly there, and Jesus worked with them. and so it hasn't changed because they were going in the name of Jesus. And so Peter knew, Jesus, you are here with us, and it's you that is going to heal this person. And so he had faith in the understanding that in the name of Jesus, Jesus is present, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus is now become tangible. It's now becoming a reality in a person's life. And he says, the faith that comes through him. And before we go on, this is important because very often we may find ourselves striving to have faith. We may find ourselves really, and I need to believe. And we get worked up because things aren't happening. And it's like, I need to believe, have I got enough faith? I've got this. And it's all that battle that takes place in our mind, in our emotions. Here we see, remember, faith comes from God. And here we see the faith that comes through him, by him. Jesus is the means. It's through him that we receive the faith. Remember, he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And a good way and a very helpful way that really helps you and I is to simply receive from Jesus his faith. Just simply receive. And just say, Lord Jesus, you're the author, you're the perfecter. I just receive the faith that comes from you to be able to believe, to be able to have faith in your name. And in the receiving, because now just by asking to receive, that is an amazing step of faith, because you just now really just opening your heart, Lord Jesus, your faith I receive. The faith that comes by you, the faith that comes through you, the faith that comes, you see, it's a word that says it moves over successfully. That's what this word means. This faith that comes from Jesus moves into us successfully. You see, the good news of God is truly good news, okay? It's not saying this faith that comes from Jesus, well, maybe it's going to have the fruit that it needs. Maybe, I don't know. It comes successfully to you and I. We just simply receive it, okay? And it's been like that right from the beginning. It's faith. It's just simply believe. It just simply receive. It comes from Jesus, comes from our Father, by the Holy Spirit, and we just simply receive faith. And grow in this every day, every situation that you and I find ourselves, just for a moment, stop. I just receive your faith, Jesus, for this situation. And I thank you for the faith. And that's the faith that we see, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This faith that is the substance, this faith that is gives you the confidence, the assurance, the hope, the faith that is able to see beyond the natural, because you're seeing Jesus and you're receiving from Jesus and who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So you may want to just stop for a moment. And just Lord Jesus, today we receive your faith. Thank you for your faith that you have given to me today. I receive it, and I thank you for that. See, that's a place of rest, because it's no longer us trying to have the faith. You're receiving the faith that comes from God. And it's an incredible gift that God gives to every believer. Okay. And so I wanted to share that there, because as we go on, understanding just this teaching that Peter gives over here about faith that comes, the faith just Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. And so, yeah, so practice that every day. That's what I do. And I'm finding as I'm just appropriating this more and more, life is changing. There's so much that from the promises of God, the reality of the kingdom is really manifesting and becoming tangible on the earth. And so, yeah, so it's something that we need to just take hold of. Okay. And so, yes, last week, as we started looking at this, we're busy looking at what it is to be a true disciple of Jesus. We are looking at the life of, if you want to use the word disciple maker, a life of someone that follows Jesus, a life of someone who is making and living in the Great Commission and making disciples of all nations, baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Christ has taught, teaching them to obey everything that Christ has taught. Just on that, I think I'm jumping around quite a bit today, but there's just things that are coming that I must just share. You know, we look at when Jesus speaks about to teach them everything that I've taught you, and we see over there that those who walk and obey the teaching of Jesus, they know the reality of the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the incredible joy of being a disciple of Jesus. And so when Jesus says over then in John 8 verse 31, to the Jews who believed him, you see, here again is the reality of the faith. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus says, if you hold, in other words, if you remain in my teaching, if you apply my teaching, if you take the parable of the sower and you've got all the trials and all the worries and all the hassles of life coming away, if you just continually, steadfastly hold onto my teaching that I've spoken to you, then he says over there, then you are really my disciples. That's a statement. If you hold to my teachings, you are really, really my disciples. And I emphasize that word really, because he's really showing us what a true disciple is. He's really, when he gave the mandate in Matthew 28 about the Great Commission, yeah, Jesus is really telling us that Great Commission, that this is what true discipleship is all about. Those who hold to my teaching, those who apply my teaching, they are really my disciples. And remember, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who takes on the values of Jesus, who takes on the lifestyle of Jesus, who takes on the teachings of Jesus, and lives in the truth, the way, the truth, and the life that comes from Jesus Christ. Then you will know, notice that, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and only then, remember the parable of the sower? Only those that took the word remained, that word remained in them. Only then did that fruit become a reality. That's why, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And as we shared last week, so many times we are saying to ourselves, the truth sets free. That's only the end of the verse. You see, the whole verse goes on. You could hold onto my teachings, remain in my word remain in you, you remain in me, I in you, John chapter 15, verse 7. And then we see over here, then we are now revealing, we are showing ourselves to be the true disciples of Jesus, because his life, his way, everything is being revealed in our lifestyle, in the way we operate, and that Now we are reflecting, we are showing that we are the true disciples of Jesus. Then we will know what the Holy Spirit revealed, that truth that we are holding it. Then we will know that truth. That truth becomes a reality. That truth is alive. That truth is the substance. That truth, that's the faith now. The faith, we've got the faith that's been established in us, and we're walking in that truth. We will know that that truth is truly true. Okay? And then that truth has a fruit to it. That truth has a fruit called freedom. And that's when we walk free from the stuff that has been holding us down over there. And that's why, guys, many times folk are listening to the Word of God. They're listening to the Word of God. And you must know this as you're making, if you're involved with discipleship making. People listen, but they don't hold on to that. So they're always wanting to be wanting help. They're always because they have not taken the truth that Jesus has spoken to them by the Holy Spirit and got established in that, remaining in that, and then experiencing how real, how powerful, and how free that truth, that freedom that comes with that truth. Remember the Word of God, Jesus says over there, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. Freedom and life cannot be separated. Okay, and that's the end. So when Jesus says set the captives free, this is part of it, of them beginning to be established. It's one thing casting demons out of a person, but they're not free. You see, they've got to be established in truth, walk in the truth, know the truth, to walk in the freedom and to stay in the freedom and enjoy more truth so that the freedom just expands. So eventually from a little stepping stone of freedom, we're starting to walk on a highway of freedom. Another word, highway of holiness. Okay, it's the same thing. Okay, and so we see over here, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's why, you know, they're arguing with him about they're not slaves because they're descendants of Abraham. And how can you say you shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And we know that in the truth of Jesus, in just receiving what he has done, when he died to that power of sin, when he broke that power, we have been set free from, we're no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to a servant, slaves to righteousness. And so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice the emphasis. It's not a half a job. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And then he carries on over there. And so that's what we were looking at last week. And again, just in John 15, Jesus just speaking the same thing. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's the same. This is a disciple of Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away. And with such a branch are picked up. And it's very similar to the parable of the sower. People hear the word of God. And then the enemy comes and snatches. It's the same concept that Jesus is speaking here. So they're always hearing, but the enemy just comes and steals because the heart is not taking the word in. They're not pressing in for the understanding. The heart has become hard. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away, and whether such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If your word, and this is the same now, the disciple, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So now when we go back to that John 8 and we see there what a true disciple is, and now we see here that you and I who are the true disciples who are taking what the Holy Spirit shares every day that the Holy Spirit speaks. Remember when the Holy Spirit speaks, when the Word of God opens up to you, that is for us life. That's the Father inviting us into something that is far better than what we are now living in. And that's often people will, oh, I know, God is cruel or God is this and that over there. No, he doesn't want us to remain in sin. He doesn't want us to be stuck in that junk that is holding us back. So he gives truth so that we can respond, step into that truth and experience what Jesus is sharing here in his teachings to the disciples and to you and I. And so he goes, this is to my Father, ask whatever you wish. And what an incredible privilege that the true disciples of Jesus have, you and I. Now, you see, now when we start to learn this, that's why when we pray in the name of Jesus, the ones praying in the name of Jesus are the disciples of Jesus. Okay. And look to this incredible promise now. And that's why I'm so excited about our journey, because as we grow in this, the prayers are being answered, because now our prayers are connected to the truth, is connected to the lifestyle of being a disciple of Jesus. That same heart of the Father, the same heart of Jesus, you and I by the Holy Spirit, we've got the same heart, the same desires, the same passion. That which the Father loves, we love. That which the Father says is sin, we say is sin. And so suddenly we begin to find how our prayers are being answered, and that's why it's life changing as we grow in this over here. Because this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so that fruit of the truth, knowing the truth, that fruit of you will know the truth, that truth sets free, that's the fruit that shows that we are the true disciples of Jesus. Okay, back to the parable of the sower, if you need a bit more clarity on that over there. And so we looked at that now. Another one, just quickly before we look at something in John 14, and this is what we've been dealing with for many months now. When we saw over there the reality of the name of Jesus and his presence cannot be separated. Remember, here we see in John 14 where the Father has sent Jesus. And so Jesus is ministering, he's living his life on earth. Whatever he's doing, whatever he's saying, whatever he's doing it in the name of his Father. And so everything that he's doing, the Father is present and the Father is doing the work through him. And that's the incredible truth. So when he says over there, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is a Father living in me who is doing his work. Okay, very important. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works himself, because those works reveal the fruit of the Father's presence, of the Father's activity. That work, that evidence reveals the character, the nature of the Father, so that people can have a revelation of what the Father is like. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He's made the Father known. He's the image of the Father. And he says, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What works was Jesus doing? He was doing the Father's works. So now, we who believe in Jesus, you and I who have faith in the name of Jesus, now all of a sudden, what works are we doing? It's the works of Jesus in us. See, that's it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in us. You see, and now all of a sudden, because Jesus, he's doing the works of the Father, and now all of a sudden we are doing, same as Jesus, we are doing the works of Jesus in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, when I go to the Father, I'll ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. And now, the Father and I will come and make our dwelling in you. Now remain in me, remain in the Father. Let the word remain in you. Okay, you'll bear much fruit, because now you go living. That word, I'm not speaking my own words, Jesus says, it's the words of my Father. Now as we are disciples, and we're now taking the word of Jesus, and we're now applying and we're being established in that word of Jesus. Now we begin to understand the works of Jesus. So now we begin to have that word remain in us. And so now you will find there that you will be able to be involved in what Jesus wants to do. The works of Jesus will be setting captives free. The works of Jesus is to make disciples of all nations. The works of Jesus is taking that which is the good news of the Father and making it known to you and I. And so those are the works that we're involved with. And so that's why the word focus is a big word at the moment, because people are starting to get focused now on the desires of God. You see, no longer their own desires. It's what God desires. It's what Christ desires. It's what the Holy Spirit desires. What the heavenly realm desires, because they desire the things of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now, all of a sudden, that's the shift that's taking place in the believer's life. Because when you walk by the Spirit, we will have the desires of the Holy Spirit. Okay, as we are established in the fact that we have died to the old man and we are a new creation in Christ, we're starting to have the desires. We're starting to bear the fruit, and the Holy Spirit's teaching us what it is to be a true disciple of Jesus, so that the world can see and they can look at the evidence, the miracles, our life. They can see how we live, how we speak, how we move, and how our being. They can see all of that. And they will be able to realize, but we are followers of Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus, because they can see the evidence of the works of Jesus being made known in and through our lives. That incredible work of our Lord Jesus. Okay, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So carry on, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Again, this is what we've been looking at for a long time. Then we looked at this Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to stop for a moment here, because that's why in the beginning, when we just realized over there that faith, when Peter said it's faith in the name of Jesus, and the faith that comes through him, by him, the faith that he is the author and perfecter. And so for you and I just to simply get to the place to receive, Jesus, I receive your faith and I thank you for your faith that you have released in me. What takes place? The teaching of Jesus. You know, so many folk that you become, and you might find yourself in this, the Great Commission. There's a mindset that says, that's not for me, that's for someone else. See, that's only for the apostles, the original apostles. So many folk have that distant view of the teachings of Jesus. And it's never become personal. And that's what our Lord Jesus is doing today. He's speaking so that each and every one of us knows that he is giving us a mandate. It's a personal mandate that we no longer can say that's for someone else, that's for someone else. No, it's for you and I. And that's the grace of God being released to minister, so that you hear, you have an encounter with Jesus, and that now Jesus, you and Jesus, you know he's now speaking to you directly into your spirit man, that you may now know, whoa, I cannot say it's not for me, it's for that one, it's for me. You're speaking to me. Faith comes from hearing. Okay. And so when we look at this Isaiah 61, it's the same thing. Many, many, many folk will say, but no, that was Jesus, and that's for someone else. No, it's for you. It's for you and I. It's personal for every single believer. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a beauty, a crown of beauty, instead of ashes of joy, instead of mourning, and a garment of praise, instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. Who are the true disciples? They are the ones that display the reality of Jesus. The Father is glorified, okay, in the fruit of what it is to be a disciple. We are a display. We are the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Okay, and so we can carry on there in Isaiah 61 over there. This is not for anybody else. It's for you and I. And that by the grace of God, Father, that your Son now will speak to each and every one of us individually, whether it is now or tonight, through dreams, through visions, through whatever way, Father, that everyone listening will now realize in a way that only they know that you have commissioned them personally. And they know that they're part of this great commission. They're involved with your heartbeat. They're involved. And I break any excuses. And I ask for truth. And I come against every single spirit of confusion and doubt in Jesus' name. And Jesus, I receive your faith that comes through you. And I release that faith of yours into every heart now that is open to receive in Jesus' name. Okay, so we get to the Isaiah 61, and it's so, so important now, and I know over the next couple of days, whatever it may be, you will have an encounter, you'll have a personal encounter with Jesus, and you will know, you cannot duck out of this anymore. He's called you. You'll have a commissioning. He's going to speak to you, and you will know, okay, this is it, Lord. For the rest of my life, I'm now sold out. Okay, and that is why in Haggai chapter 1, it's such a good example again where God releases, God shares with the prophets, with Haggai and through all over, he's sharing with them his heart, his desire. And so the people of God have been set free from captivity, some of them, and they need to start building. But what takes place, we see over there that they started, but they got so focused on building their own houses. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. It's time to be involved in the Lord's building. It's time to be building the city of God. It's time to be establishing the kingdom of God on earth. It's time. Okay. And so we cannot be like these Hebrews and say, no, it's not time yet to, I've still got to do my career. I've still got to do this. I've still got to make enough money for my pension. I've still got this. No, it's time. Okay. That's why you need to hear the Holy Spirit speak and you know it's time. The time has not yet come to rebuild the house, they are saying. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Isaiah. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in the paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Okay. In Isaiah 61, we will see that we will be builders of the ruins, of ancient ruins and foundations, and etc. We are no longer sitting back and saying, no, it's for somebody else. It's for you and I. This is our time. This is the time that you and I, while we are born, while we are living, to be involved with our Lord Jesus in seeing the Father's heart, who the Father is, being made known. And he says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. Why do we harvest little? What's a true disciple? A true disciple is one who receives the word, who remains in the word. And if you remain in the word and in him, you will bear much fruit. Okay, and so we've planted much. We've listened to the laws of God, these folk over there, and etc. But the harvest little because they have not been a true disciple of God, and that Very, very, you see, this is in the natural, but it's a very, very important spiritual truth. You eat, but never have enough. How many times you'll find in discipling people are eating the word of God. They listen. They got all the scriptures. They got all the tapes. They got blah, blah, blah. But they're never living in the truth and never eating the fruit of that truth and knowing the freedom, knowing the joy, knowing the life of that truth. Okay. Always eating, but never, never having their full. That's simply because always hearing, but never remaining, letting that word remain. Okay. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Okay. Just because the focus is on self all the time, and it's not on the heart of God. And may God set us free, because we may think that we are focused on the things of God. And only the Holy Spirit can really expose that self-centeredness, because he deals, the word of God cuts through the marrow, the bone, and really goes down to the very issues of our hearts and our thoughts and so forth, and exposes with truth so that we can repent and live in the life of freedom and joy and the life that comes from the truth. And then the Lord says, give careful thoughts to your way. Go up to the mountain and bring down the timber and build my house. Okay, and so that now, as I, you know, that we're speaking and we use the word focus all the time, but this is what's taking place for us now who are true disciples of Jesus. You are finding, like myself, that if someone come and asks, you know, for years now people will say, what would you want for Christmas or what do you want for birthday? For me, it's like nothing. I want to see the kingdom of God established, you know. And that, so sorry, guys. it's just really to, you're free of all, man, you just, it's wonderful to receive. But really, you'll find over there that you've got such a passion for the things of God. You want to see life in people. That's your gift. You want them to see the work of the Holy Spirit. That brings you joy. That's lasting joy that you receive. And so it's powerful stuff. And so he carries on over there. Now, I just wanted to quickly go to Luke, because here we see here that Jesus is speaking to disciples, and they really are a bit worried, because Jesus here in the context is speaking about a brother who sins against you. You must forgive them. You must forgive them. Even when they come again and again and says, oh, I'm going to change my way. I'm not going to do it anymore. He says, forgive. And then he says there, the apostles that said to Jesus, increase our faith. It's amazing. And one of the things that I've realized there, that people don't forgive because they don't have faith. People don't forgive because they don't have faith. They don't believe that God's truth and walking in God's truth is better for them than holding on to unforgiveness. They think unforgiveness is still better for them than the truth of God. They don't believe in the teaching of Jesus, so they hold on to unforgiveness. They don't believe that God is able to touch the people that has grieved or offended or hurt you, whatever the case may be. That there's no faith to believe that God is able to bring about a miracle and to work all things out for the good for those who believe. You see, there's no faith. Okay, and that's why you'll find why people battle to forgive. Because they don't believe the reality of the life that they have in Jesus Christ, is lack of faith. And so the disciples say, increase our faith. And then he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And this is why he's teaching us now. Because this faith that comes from Jesus, as we are growing and stepping out, everything has to obey. Everything has to obey this true faith that is in you and I. Okay. And that's why whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, because now there's a faith in that. As we speak, that thing must obey. Whatever it is, has to obey. And then he gives an example of a servant and a master in how the servant obeys and just doing his duty. Likewise with faith, at the same context over there, in the area of faith over there. This faith of Jesus, it's like the master in a sense. And when it speaks, as you and I speak this faith in the name of Jesus, everything must obey what faith is saying. Okay. Because this is a faith that we're doing. And so, Father, help us, yeah, and we'll receive again. Lord Jesus, we receive your faith that we may be fully persuaded as we hear you speak, so that when we speak and say to that mulberry tree, even this faith as small as a mustard seed, that tree will obey, because your faith, everything has to obey your faith. It's not our faith. It's your faith that everything must obey. So we receive now to be established in this truth. And we thank you for the grace, Father, involved in us to be able to grow in this and to try it out, to experiment with this, and to see it become a reality. Okay, so when you and I pray in the name of Jesus, and you've got faith in the name of Jesus, and you're starting to pray for your husband, your wife, your children, we're starting to pray for our families, we're starting to pray for our community, for our town, our city, our nation, the nations. And we are now, have heard what God is saying, and we now come in the name of Jesus. That takes now our prayers to a place of divine authority. It takes us to the place where now Jesus will answer those prayers, because the Father will be glorified in his Son. We're lifting the name of Jesus. So when we come and we take the teaching of Jesus, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. How is God's name glorified? It's glorified as you and I abide in him. His word remains in us, and we are bearing much fruit, showing ourselves. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So as you and I, as true disciples, remaining in the word, getting established in the word, living in the word, holding on to that truth, that brings glory to the Father. That honors the Father. Okay, then thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, Jesus says, first seek the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added to you. What's the next thing Jesus says? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, etc. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, seek first the kingdom, and then the rest comes. Exact the same reality that Jesus is teaching here in the Lord's Prayer. And so now we begin to have the same desires of the Father. So Isaiah 61, the Great Commission in Matthew 28. There's just so many scriptures that we can look at over there. Here with Jesus here, when he's being accused of driving out Satan with the power of Satan, and Jesus says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Guys, and this is key for us, because now when we are saying your kingdom come, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are now doing it in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God has come upon this community. The kingdom of God has manifested. And that's how we establish the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why understanding what it is to be a true disciple, what it is to have faith in his name, what it is to receive the faith of Jesus, and understanding what it is to remain and experience the life of Jesus. Guys, he has spoken to us about the old man has been crucified, the power of sin is broken. He's spoken to us about that there. It's time to remain in that truth, guys, so that the fruit of the Spirit is being made known. It's time, when God has spoken about whatever he's spoken to you and I about over there, to remain in that. You will see the fruit. You will know that word that you spoke is true. It's alive. You're experiencing it there. Then your joy is made complete. So as we go into the communion, spending the time in the communion this morning, and just again, in the name of Jesus, we eat in the name of Jesus, we drink in the name of Jesus, we are together in the heavenly realms in the name of Jesus, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. So just like it was in the upper room, Jesus is there with his disciples, here now. Although we're there in the heavenly realms as well, he's there in your lounge, in your room. He is there with you. Okay? Perceive that. Receive him there with you and just receive it by the faith that you have been given by Jesus now. And just spend time with him. And you know, he knows what you need, you know, and that. And sometimes, guys, sometimes the biggest thing is to not say, okay, Lord, I need this, I need that, but rather, Jesus, I want that what you want to do. My need is to know what you wanted to do so I can be involved in what you're wanting to do. Okay. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's your true spiritual worship. And so yield to him. Receive his mandate as you have communion. Amen.